Well, this morning we're in a series called Ignite, and it's going through the book of Acts. And what we've been doing is we're sort of this theme of the church exists really, and it's carrying forward the work of Christ. Even in our life group today, we talked about how that Jesus had done these things and said those who come after him will do these things and even greater things, that the church is going to expand and grow and will go. And the book of Acts begins with, you know, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth when his power comes on us with the Holy Spirit. And so we're in the series in Acts just with this challenge for us that God really calls us to be disciples and to make disciples. And he empowers us to do that. And so what we're doing is we're looking through the book of Acts and seeing how this takes place, looking at passages and seeing what this passage teaches me about how to be a disciple and how to make disciples, because that's what he's given us the privilege of doing, of really following him, being identified with him, and helping others to do the same, helping those people who do already identify with him to identify and to follow him more, and those who do not know him to come to know him and to hear about him and to have the opportunity to follow him as well. And so we were doing that. So last week, we actually did the first half of Acts 3 years ago, and now we're doing the second half of Acts. And so last week we jumped right into chapter 15, and we talked about the Jerusalem Council, where they made this decision to hold fast to the gospel. Don't water it down. Don't compromise it. Don't change it. Don't do anything. Hold fast to the gospel. So if we want to be disciples and make disciples, we really need to hold fast to the gospel. And this week we're gonna continue on. And it's funny. This week is sort of collections. It's like four little caveats. It's four little stories that take place right after the church made this decision that, hey, this is the gospel. You don't have to add anything to it. You believe in Christ, and that is all. You don't need to become a Jew formally. You don't need to become circumcised. You don't have to follow the law. It only takes faith in Jesus Christ. And so then little episodes, little stories that go right between that and getting to Paul's ministry when he goes out on another journey all over modern-day Turkey and Europe. And as I was looking at it this week, what really struck me is it's almost like it's an inside look at what life is like following Christ, what life is like in this body that we call the church. And there's a difference, right, between an inside look and an outside look, right? So an outside look, when we look at things, they all seem perfect and great. And those are sometimes the things that might be thrown up on social media, not thrown up, but some things might be placed on social media, or things that we might advertise, or pictures. There's the outside of how everything looks great, and then there's sort of the behind the scenes look, or how things really are, And so you see this all the time. We sort of see things of how people do these great things, like, oh, that's awesome. And then you sort of peek behind the curtain, you go, that's a little more complex than I thought. It's not quite as easy as I thought. And it's a little bit different. And so what I think this passage does today is it gives us a sort of an inside look, an unvarnished look. A look without, sometimes you talk about rose-colored glasses, you put on these glasses, everything looks great. Well, this is like a look without rose-colored glasses. This is sort of a realistic look of what life can be like to be disciples and to make disciples. So we're going to see things about like conflict, we're going to see disappointment, we're going to see confusion, and we're also going to see God provide in the midst of all those things. And so the point where I'm going today is that this life that we have of being disciples and making disciples is an adventure. That's code word for saying messy, okay, or a hot mess, or whatever you want to say. It is messy. It's not perfectly organized and structured. It's not this thing that, oh, we set out the plan and the plan comes together perfectly. It's messy. But the beauty of it is that God is with us in this adventure and he guides and leads. And so that's it. So basically, that you know, following God's an adventure as he guides and leads. And so my hope today is that we're going to look at this process that we're in, this calling we have to be disciples and make disciples, and we're going to see it as messy. We're going to see it as an adventure and have confidence that God will work it towards his purposes. Because it can be really tempting to be discouraged and just, you know, call it in, phone it in, or be discouraged just to hang it up when things don't go just according to plan. But God's plan is to oftentimes adjust our plan and implement his plan. And so that's what we're going to look at today, that following God is an adventure. He's also faithful to guide and provide. Okay, so that's where we're going today. So we're going to be reading in the book of Acts at the end of chapter 15, and we'll go into chapter 16. And so there are four little stories. The first one is this conflict, this disagreement with Paul and Barnabas. The second one is when Paul goes to a city and picks up Silas. I mean, he and Silas go and they pick up Timothy to join their team, and then they make some hard decisions there. And then Paul just gets, he's trying to go one way, God says no. He tries to go another way, God says no. Then he has his vision. It was like, God, where do you want me to be? What's going on here? And it's this great little story of Paul just being confused and then God sort of directing him in some interesting ways. And then they finally get to Philippi, and they God actually does some dramatic things there. So it's this, it's sort of, we just get to join Paul in the adventure behind the curtain and see what life is like to be disciples and make disciples. And so we'll take encouragement from that. So I'm going to read the passage, and then we'll come back and look at it more closely. So Acts 15, verse 36, and then we'll go through chapter 16 to verse 15. So we'll stop when I stop. But okay, it'll be on the screen, but here we go. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit all the believers in all the towns. Sorry, visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. Paul didn't think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we set out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony in the leading district of Macedonia, and then we stayed there for several days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us into her home. If you consider me to be a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. So that's the story. So there's these four distinct stories. So we're just picturing how Paul is walking through. And besides, the geography is a bit challenging, but also that there's some challenging things that actually take place in this passage. And so we'll sort of walk through and see how this fits together. But it's pretty clear that he was on quite an adventure. This was not a straight line from point A to B. It wasn't how things had planned. And my hope is that as we look at this, we're going to be able to look at our lives and say, hey, God, I trust you when these interruptions, when these alterations to my plans come in my life. And I'm going to walk trusting that you are going to guide and provide in the midst of it. Okay, so that's where we're going. So let's look through and we'll sort of talk through this together. So back up to chapter 15, verse 36. So if you remember the context here, Paul and Barnabas had initially been in Antioch, the city in northern. Remember that city? They were first called Christians. It's where the Greeks first came to Christ and all that kind of stuff. And they had heard that there was an issue of that they need to take help to the church in Jerusalem. So they gathered up some money and stuff, and they actually took it down to Jerusalem to help them. And when they were down there, they actually picked up this guy, John Mark, and he came back up to them to Antioch. And so then they all left together on a journey. Barnabas, Paul, and John Mark. They'd been sent out. The church said, hey, let's set apart these guys to go do this work. So the church set them apart, and they took off. And they sailed to Cyprus, which was Barnabas' home. And then they sailed up to the coast of southern Turkey, which is gorgeous on the Mediterranean. And they stopped there, and then Mark said, I'm out of here. And he sailed back home to Jerusalem. And then they continued on to these cities, several cities, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. And like one of them, like Paul was stoned and left for dead. And he got up and went on to the next city. I mean, it was just pretty brutal. And so then they came back through those cities and then sailed back to Antioch. So that was the first trip he's talking about. And so when they got back to Antioch, what we talked about last week is the church, some people were saying, no, the gospel's not enough to believe in Jesus. These Gentiles have to become Jews. They have to be circumcised. They have to enter our full religion and do all the laws. And they went to have this discussion in Jerusalem, and they all concluded, no. Relationship to God is free directly through faith in Jesus Christ for everybody. Regardless of your culture, your language, your background, your history, what you've done or haven't done, your family, everyone has direct access to God through faith in Jesus Christ. And so they took that message back. So the Jerusalem church sent them a letter and says, hey, go take this back to all the churches. And so they took it back up to Antioch, and now they're saying, hey, let's go back to these other churches and visit them. Okay, so that's the context. They're saying, sometime later, Paul said, let's go back and visit these believers. Kyle, can you do me a favor? Can you hop to that first map slide? I'm going to show them just real quick the map thing. So this is actually his first journey. And that Antioch up there, where it says starting point, guess what that is? It's not a trick question. Starting point. Okay, good. I just want to make sure you guys are awake and with me. The starting point is the starting point. That's Antioch. Okay, so they sailed to Cyprus, which is that's where Barnabas was from, and then they went through Cyprus. They had the sorcerer guy who was trying to keep the ruler from believing, and he was like struck blind, all that kind of stuff. And then they sailed up to Perga on the coast, and so you can see in the light letters it says Pamphylia. That's sort of the region. And that's where John Mark, he's that red line zipping down to Jerusalem. That's John Mark hightailing out of there. That's where Paul says he deserted us. Okay, so then they went up to Antioch Pisidia, which is a northern Antioch in the region of Pisidia. You can see Pisidia underneath it. And then they went down to Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and then backtracked their way and then sailed back to Antioch. Okay, so that's the first trip. So they're saying, hey, let's go back. We had a pretty rough time out there, and we got persecuted a lot. Let's go back and see how these new believers are doing, because people actually put their faith in Christ, and we want to go see how they're doing. And so Paul says, let's go do this. And Barnabas says, hey, let's take John with us. Because actually, Barnabas and John are cousins. We find this out in Colossians. It talks about that John Mark is the cousin of Barnabas. And so he's like, hey, let's take John Mark with us. And Paul's like, not so much. I mean, Paul literally says, he didn't think it was wise because he had deserted them in Pamphylia. Like, when they got off Barnabas' home island of Cyprus and got up to the shore, and they were getting up there and they're about to go talk in these hard places, it says, John Mark deserted them. And so Paul's like, look, we're about to go back to these churches. I don't really want to take the guy who abandoned us last time. And Barnabas is like, yes, we need to take him. And there was just complete disagreement. And it says, verse 39, says they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria, Cilicia, strengthening the churches. The passage does not tell us who was right, who was wrong. Does not say that they got together and prayed and sent one another off. It really leaves the whole thing very, very ambiguous. What it does say is when Paul and Silas left, they left commended by the churches to take the message to the churches in Cilicia and those regions on the map, Syria and Cilicia. And so we know that they're continuing on this statement that they're taking from the church in Jerusalem. They're continuing that work that was told. This letter was supposed to be taken back to Antioch and then to these churches. So they're continuing on that work. And Barnabas and Mark are going to Cyprus. And we don't know. It just doesn't tell us. We do know, though, that Barnabas is this incredible man. If you go back and look in Acts, he's the one who first, I think it's at the end of chapter 4, he's the one who first sold a piece of property. That's where it says he's from Cyprus. A Levite from Cyprus was among the church, and he had a field that he sold and placed the money at the apostles' feet. And then the story comes of Ananias and Sapphira who lied about it and got struck dead. So Barnabas was the good example, and Ananias and Sapphira, the bad example. So Barnabas is this generous, giving man. He's also the one, when Barnabas went up to Antioch to check out the church to see what was going on, they sent him from Jerusalem. He was a leader in the church. And actually, yeah, it was in his, you know, John Mark's mother's home, Mary, that the church met when Peter was in prison. Remember that time that Peter was in prison, he was miraculously let out, and he comes to the door and knocks, and Rhoda answers, was like, this can't be right, and closes the door. Well, that was in John Mark's childhood home, and you know, Barnabas's, I mean, so all these people are related. They're all key people. So Barnabas is key. So they send Barnabas up to Antioch to check on the church. Barnabas knows of Paul, goes over and grabs Paul from Tarsus, invites him in, and helps him become the key leader in Antioch. Barnabas is the person who invested in Paul and brought him in to lead. And eventually, even let Paul become the primary leader. Barnabas is this developer of others. So you can sort of see these two different visions. Barnabas is this, he wants to redeem Mark. He's like, Mark is worth redeeming. Paul's like, these churches need help, and they don't need help from someone who just abandoned them. I need someone I can count on. So you sort of have these conflicting things of what they're called to do. Barnabas is called to help Mark. Paul is called to go help these churches. And those different visions caused them to separate. We don't have the data. We can't say who's right or wrong. And I don't know if we have to. But one of the things I want to say is that, you know, it is not uncommon. One of the surprises that we face in being disciples and making disciples is that there's disagreement and there's conflict. And there's things don't just go as we plan. Sometimes we have strong personalities, sometimes we have strong callings that go in a different direction than they have before. Sometimes things change, sometimes things shift, sometimes people go in different ways. And that's hard. I'm sure it was brutal on Barnabas, I'm sure it was brutal on Paul. I'm sure it's not what they envisioned. The fun side of the story is that God brought it all together. If you continue reading about John Mark, it's an incredible story. I mean, Barnabas invested in him well. If you read, he actually is, you'll find out, if you look, I think it's in Colossians, and I think Philemon, in the end of both those books, Paul says, and Mark with me sends greetings. So Mark later on does minister with Paul. And in fact, at the end of, I think it's the end of 2 Timothy, Paul says, bring Mark with me because I find him useful. He says, bring him to me. So at the end of the day, he is developed and he is useful for Paul in the ministry. But in this period, no, they're going different ways. And actually, Mark, we think because of the early church fathers and the early church writers, he's actually the one that wrote the Gospel of Mark. Because he became very close with Peter. If you read in 1 Peter, he was with Peter. And Peter wrote about Mark at the end. And it's very likely that Mark was actually the author of the Gospel of Mark, writing down the first person account of Peter. So isn't that incredible? So we have this division, we have going in different ways, we have God calling them to different things, but God sort of redeems it. But that's just one thing. If we're going to be disciples and make disciples, don't expect everybody to agree and go the same path. Don't be surprised if God calls people in different directions and it's not easy and you don't know why and you don't fully agree. They evidently did it peaceably. There's no sense of hatred. I mean, Paul spoke pretty boldly in Galatians. Paul could be bold. Like Paul said in Galatians, I opposed Peter to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. I mean, read Galatians. I mean, it's just like out there. You know, he doesn't say that here. He says there was a sharp disagreement. They went different directions. So that's the first thing. Hey, if we're going to make disciples and be disciples, don't be surprised. Don't be destroyed. Don't think that if conflict happens or is a difference of vision that God can't work it for his glory. He can. He can do more than you imagine. God took this guy who was not really worthy to go on this trip to let someone personally invest in him, and he had this incredible impact. So, okay, well, let's keep going. So that's the first little segment. He had this conflict. The next thing is Timothy joins Paul and Silas in chapter 16. It says, Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but his father was Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area. And then they traveled from town to town, and the churches grew and were strengthened. So instead of Paul and Barnabas in the first journey, now it's Paul and Silas. Instead of John Mark with them, now they got Timothy with them. So it's like it's a new team. And what's really interesting is Timothy had a Jewish mom, so he's considered Jewish, and he had a Greek father, so he also had that culture. But he had not been circumcised, and so he was considered an outsider to the Jews. And so here we have this whole argument. You know, Paul is totally opposing people who said you have to be circumcised. And then in this next chapter, he goes and circumcises Timothy. Is he an absolute hypocrite? Why is he doing that? I mean, he just fought tooth and nail to make sure the gospel, you did not have to become a Jew. And the next chapter, he goes up, Timothy, too bad. I know you're a grown man and this is going to be painful, but you've got to do this. And he circumcises him. How can that be? Well, it's because for this case, it was not for salvation. It was because he wanted him to be able to serve in ministry with him to the Jews. He wanted him to be able to go into the synagogues. He wanted him to be able to go and be involved in those practices. You remember how last week we talked about, you know, if you want to go down to Alabama, if you want to reach the heathen in Alabama, what two colors you don't wear?
Orange
and blue. If you want to go reach the heathen at Auburn, what two colors don't you wear? Red and white. You know, I mean, so I went to Auburn, I'm one of those heathen. But there's some things that you do. You make accommodation so as to not to offend. And that's why Paul says, I became all things to all men so that I might not, you know, so that I might win some for the gospel. So he became all things. So that's what he's saying. He's saying, look, I'm circumcising Timothy so that he can go with me without problem into the synagogue. So he can be involved in these things. So he can reach out to the Jews. Because the first place we go in every city is to the synagogue. First place we go in every city is to among the Jews. And if they don't accept us, then we go to the Gentiles and share the gospel as well. So you have this thing. And so that's another thing. Just realizing that sometimes we're going to have to do things that are uncomfortable. Sometimes we're going to have to accommodate to be able to preach the gospel to those who, you know, who may be offended if we take all the freedoms that we have. And so he gives a good example of that. But the other thing I think about this is amazing. Timothy, this guy he picks up in this city where Paul was left for dead. And it says he was spoken well of by all the believers there. So now instead of having a guy who ran away from persecution, he picks up a guy in a city where Paul was stoned and left for dead, who came to faith in the middle of persecution, who was well aware of the cost, and who has a high reputation of everybody in that city. Don't you think he'd probably be a good person to be sharing the gospel with people in that circumstance throughout all modern-day Turkey? So God lined that all up. And I was shocked. I did this yesterday. I went and looked through all of Paul's epistles. Guess how many Paul's epistles Timothy's like a co-author of? Six! It says Paul and Timothy. Like 1st, 2nd Thessalonians is Paul and Timothy and Silas. No, it's Paul and Timothy, Paul and Timothy, Paul and Timothy, Paul and Timothy. This guy became a key person with him of the entire ministry. He's the one who received 1st and 2nd Timothy as well. Those were written to him. He was a key leader in the church of Ephesus. God just sort of worked these circumstances and brought this young man who became key to the church expanding through this whole region. And it was key as he put his faith in Christ, as he was raised in persecution, and he was willing to make sacrifices to share the gospel in that region. So that's another thing I say. One, don't be surprised if God brings conflict in our way, but also don't be surprised if God calls us to sacrifice. If he calls us to go places we might not go, if he calls us to reach out to people that we might be uncomfortable reaching out to, if he calls us to look not for what's most comfortable for me, but what's most comfortable for others. There's a sacrifice that's often involved in being a disciple and making disciples. And that's just part of the story. It's not comfortable, but that's just part of it. But look how God provides. He provides, you know, even with this division, John Mark becomes this incredible man. Even with this separation of teams, now we have Timothy and Silas, and we have a whole other way the gospel goes forward. It's amazing. And it goes on. This is the crazy part. So Paul and him are traveling. Can you throw up that second, not throw up, I would say throw up. Can you put up the second map? The one, this one tells of the journey that they took. Starting point, you know what that is? You guys are sharp. You learned since last time. Okay, so the starting point, this time, instead of sailing to Cyprus, so Barnabas and Mark sailed down to Cyprus, but Paul heads inland this time over to Tarsus. That's where he was from originally. Then he goes up the back way by land to Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, and goes all over there. Now he's going up, and he's thinking, oh man, God's called me to this church. I'm going to say hi to all these churches, and then I'm going to spread the gospel further. And so that's where it goes here. He says, you know, he's ready to go all the way through into Asia. So he's ready to slide through there. And it says here, Holy Spirit kept him from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Now, we don't know how. We don't know if he got sick. We don't know if the Spirit made him completely uncomfortable. We don't know what happened, but he couldn't go that way. And then he was going to go north. He's like, well, I can't go west. I'm going to go north. So he starts trudging up north. And then he says, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus wouldn't let them. Okay, so Paul's like, wait a second here. You know, I'm going back to these towns. I'm trying to do what you want me to do. And you keep saying no. You keep saying no. Now, have you ever experienced that before? You're trying to follow God, trying to do what he wants you to do, and he just keeps saying no, and he doesn't tell you yes. He doesn't tell you what's supposed to happen. You're trying to do it, and you're like, nope. He closes that door. Nope. Closes that door. No, I mean, I've had this happen. I tried to change universities and go into ministry. I tried to go to a Christian school out of Auburn, and God, I was accepted out of high school, and I got rejected. I got the big rejection notice. No. How many guys have you had? You had this big rejection. You're trying to do something for God, and all of a sudden, no. And you look the next step. No. Paul just had to be totally confused. And then he goes to sleep that night. I don't know. Verse 9. He says, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia. Now, how is he? I don't know if he had a name tag. It's Macedonia. Maybe he was dressed in Macedonian gear. Maybe he spoke. I don't know what he did, but he knew, somehow recognizable. Maybe he was like visually transported to Macedonia on a map. And we don't know. But somehow he's identified Macedonia. And he's begging, come help us. Paul's like, that sounds like a yes to me. So he gets up and goes. And that's the next thing I say. Hey, being a disciple, being a follower of Christ and making disciples, it's not always going to be clear. Sometimes even as we're trying to do the right things, God's going to say, nope, back up. Nope, back up. It might be a little while longer than he finally says, yes, go. And that's a part of the process. For me, that middle, that messy middle is the hardest part. I'm like, God, give me the answer. Give me the answer. Tell me where I'm supposed to be. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. And I just get stuck in the middle. And I'm impatient and I'm frustrated and I'm anxious and I worry and I get irritable. My wife will tell you that. You know, that's just, you know. And we're saying, hey, if we're going to be disciples and make disciples, God doesn't promise to lay out the plan 8 years in advance. But he does promise to direct us. And he'll say, nope. Okay. He tries another direction. Nope. Then God finally says, go this way. He gave him a vision. So he hopped on it, went across the land, went to the coast in Troas, hopped on a boat, sailed over to Philippi. And that's where we get to the last section. It says, verse 11, says, from Troas we set out to sea, sailed for Samothrace. Next day we were in Neapolis, from there we went to Philippi. And then the story, just the rest of the chapter, it's, you know, they go to the place of prayer. Here's the deal. In that culture, if you had enough Jews around, you'd have a temple, you'd have a synagogue. Okay? If he had at least 10 males who were believing Jews, you'd form a synagogue. If you didn't, you would just have a place of prayer. Okay? Well, they must not have had many Jews here at all, because they had a place of prayer, and that's all they had was outside the city, was a place of prayer, and there were ladies gathered there. And so he comes to this place of prayer, and this is one of those. And so I'll go to verse 13. He says, on the Sabbath we went outside the city where we expected to find a place of prayer, because they didn't see a synagogue in the city. So we sat down and began to speak to one of the women who had gathered there, because the only women were gathered. This is one of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira. She was a worshiper of God. In other words, she was following God, but she wasn't a believer. And so this is the Lord. So this is great. They go out and share, and what does God do? The Lord opened her heart to respond to the message. And then the gospel entered that household and that whole family. And it was changed. Boom. So God, he finally got to where God wanted him to be, and then God moved and opened all the doors, and boom, it was done. And then she says, hey, and then think of this, you know, Paul, I mean, they're just trapped. These are just this traveling band. They don't have a place to stay. They don't have a reservation at Hampton Inn. You know, they aren't, you know, they're like, where are we going to go? And she goes, hey, look, if you really believe that I'm a believer, come stay with me. Come stay with me. And so they move into her house and stay there. And that's how the church begins in Philippi, which the book of Philippians, and we'll talk more about that. But that, I don't know about you, that's the story of these four events to me. Give me great encouragement, because my life isn't just right. My life is messy. I have conflict. I have confusion. I know I need to make sacrifice. And yet I want to follow God and want to see Him move. So I'd ask you to think this way. What are the circumstances in your life where you're confused? What are the circumstances in your life that cause you to doubt? Is God really working? What are the circumstances in your life where you go, you know, that tempt you not to be a disciple and to make disciples? And the question is, can we trust God with those things? It's funny that I'm preaching this on this week, because this week has been a crazy week. It's been a week. If I was just talking to Brian, you know, he's like, yeah, it's more fun when you can just research sermons instead of live sermons. Because this week has been a crazy up and down week between God providing and meeting some incredible needs. To also one of our closest friends that we served overseas in Kazakhstan with for years and years and years. And I probably worked with him longer than I've worked with anybody. His wife passed away this week. She had cancer and was recovering really, really well. And then they changed medication. And then over the weekend, she just dive-bombed. And they called 911, put her in the hospital. And she immediately went on life support. And they just had to take her. She was never going to recover. Her lungs were totally destroyed. And she was, you know, completely unconscious in a coma, when her body could not function at all. And so she passed away. It was just one of those weeks that you're just like, God, I've seen you do this, I've seen you do that. And then you have this on top of it. You know, here's a couple who, you know, has sacrificed greatly for you, have done all these things, and this is the end. Their daughter, 11 years old, will not have a mom. And that's real life. When God gives us salvation, He doesn't promise to make our lives perfect. He promises to be with us in this life, to guide and provide, and to work and to lead. So for me it was a reality this week that life is not clean, life is not perfect, life is not organized as I want it to be. But I can trust Him to meet me, and to guide and to work it into things that I can't imagine. And that's my hope for you and I this week, for you and me. That with the interruptions that we'll get, with the distractions that we'll get, that we'll keep taking that next step. And trust that God will guide, He will provide. And to welcome the messiness that He will bring into our lives. Amen? Let's pray. God, we do thank You for the opportunity to meet today and to look at these passages that get these little vignettes behind the curtain of seeing how unexpected things happening, the conflict, just You work through all these different environments to accomplish incredible things. Thank You for Your love and graciousness in the midst, and Your commitment to us in the midst of things. And I pray just for each one of us here. We're all going to have surprises this week. Every one of us are going to be tempted in one way or another to turn away from the adventure that You have for us. I just pray for each person in this room that you would allow each one of us to say, hey, I'm in this to follow You. I'm in this to be a disciple and make disciples. And I trust You to guide and to provide. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.